Isn't it good to come to church on Friday? Always good to come to church. So this morning, if you have your Bibles or your phone that has your Bible app on it, come with me to Psalm 118, please. Psalm 118. I'll read to you a few verses just to kick off this morning before we take of communion together. The title of my message this morning is The Marvellous Cross. Say it with me. The Marvellous Cross. The Marvellous Cross. In Psalm 118, verse 21, it says, I will praise you, for you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Webster Dictionary describes the word marvellous as having three meanings. The first one being causing wonder or astonishment. Men may have rejected Jesus at the cross, thought of him as an imposter, but God had far greater plans at the cross. He wasn't pretending. He wasn't a criminal. He wasn't meant to be there at all. But God put him on the cross for you and for me. The second meaning of marvelous is that it refers to something miraculous and supernatural. He gave us the opportunity to be forgiven. In raising Christ from the dead, God made Jesus the foundation of the church. The temple may be destroyed in 3 days, but I will raise it up again. Jesus was referring to himself. I am the resurrection and the life. Thirdly, marvelous refers to the highest quality. Jesus' death was of the highest quality possible. He died for our ongoing freedom. It is the day distinguished by God's favor for all mankind. Never failing streams of mercy flow from God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me talk to you about the comfort of the cross. In John 19 and verse 28, it says, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I am thirsty. It's quite a lot in this small sentence. This is no more than a desperate and agonizing cry of suffering from Jesus. We hear a man on a cross who is close to death. He's suffering from numerous injuries and loss of blood, and he's expressing his need for a drink. And it only becomes worse as they offer him a hyssop plant, which is soaked in vinegar. It is a painful, poignant, and utterly human request. The truth is that in Jesus, God has suffered with human beings and nowhere more than here at the cross. If we understand and believe the Easter story, however much we may suffer, we can never ever point the finger at God and say, you really don't know what this is all about. In Christ, God is acquainted with human pain at its most extreme. The creator of heaven and earth, who only needed to speak one word to create the oceans, also knew what it was like to suffer thirst. in Christ, God has undergone the worst that we can undergo. At one time or another, most people find themselves in a place that is deeper, darker, and more terrible than they thought possible. At such times, the thought that God has been there can be an enormous, enormous comfort. My family and my wife watched my own father die. Quite a painful death, eventually dying from cancer at the age of 58 years old. It was about a three-year period of just downward spiral for him. But on that last day, when he gave his last breath, before he did that, he actually said, "I can see Jesus coming towards me. I know I'm at peace." Even in the greatest of sufferings, there is hope for our future. It may be like we feel like we don't have a lot of hope. Well, I thank God that we have hope, not just maybe we're feeling like we don't have it right now, but God has given us hope forever. Our comfort is in knowing Him. I'm glad my dad knew Him. It was such an easy thing for us as kids back in those days. Death has no hold on us. The Apostle Paul wrote, "O death, where is your sting?" Paul was quoting from the prophet Hosea. Hosea actually made this comment, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave." And although we may suffer here on this earth, although at times it may not be the life that we had hoped or expected, that's probably all of us, right? Jesus, through the power of the cross, has destroyed the cruel tyrant of this world and robbed him of the power to hurt us forever through what Christ has done on the cross for you and for me. He has taken our pain and nailed it to the cross. Anything and everything we may suffer is temporary. It is a marvelous thing knowing that even in the worst circumstances, we can have hope. Secondly, the forgiveness of the cross. It is marvelous knowing that Jesus did the greatest miracle of all by taking our sin on the cross. Luke 23 and verse 34. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Here he is in agony and he's saying, "Father, forgive them." Three of the gospel writers record that as Jesus hung on the cross from noon till 3 in the afternoon, an unexplained darkness fell upon the earth. It is a darkness that echoes what Christ experienced, a death somehow worse than death. What is marvelous about Jesus on the cross at this point of time is his amazing ability to pray for bad people at a bad time. Most of us have a problem praying for good people at good times. Yet this is the very worst of times. Here in this desperate situation, in appalling pain, Jesus' concern remains for others. In praying like this, he is living out his own teaching. In Luke 6, 27 and 28, he said, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. Jesus is that extraordinary rarity in human history, a moral teacher who lives out what he says. The content of his prayer is remarkable. Jesus is pleading with his Father to forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And Jesus puts forward that they were extenuating circumstances, a fact that his prosecutors didn't fully realize, that they were indeed mocking and torturing the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus speaks to the Father in our defense. Wow. Have you ever thought you were right about something only to find out that you had it all wrong? Jesus, the righteous one, asks his heavenly Father to forgive you and offers every excuse for you. It is what we all need. A God who in Jesus is on our side, who speaks on our behalf. It is marvelous that we can be forgiven no matter how little or how much we have done, knowingly or unknowingly. He took it on the cross. Thirdly, the freedom of the cross. Luke 23 and verse 43 has a few words that I would like to share with you. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. It's a universal feature of human societies that there are hierarchies. There are always those at the top who by hereditary, brutality, or just skillfully playing the system are successors, and at the bottom, way, way below them, those who have failed. One of the most incredible humiliations that poured on Jesus at the cross is that he is crucified with two failures. Criminals who have committed the serious offense of rebelling against Roman rule. They're on either side of him. It is presumably a calculated insult on the part of the authorities to say what they think of someone who claims to be a king. The crowd around the cross is contemptuous of Jesus. They're mocking and jeering at him. And as they do, one of the criminals joins in. The other, however, rebukes the other criminal. And he says this remarkable statement. We're getting what we deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Even on the cross, there is power exuding from the Son of God. Christianity is typical of turning things upside down. The first person to acknowledge that the cross was a triumph rather than a disaster was a man at the bottom of society. And Jesus makes this marvelous promise. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Since you have spoken to me as a king, with kingly authority, I will speak to you. Not a day's delay there shall be for you. Together we will go into paradise. There is an authority in this statement. The truth, Jesus says, you can rely on it because I said it. Jesus is in the business of turning things around. There's these 10 lepers. And they're standing at a distance as Jesus walked towards Jerusalem. If I could have the keyboard player, that'd be fantastic. And they cried out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. 10 lepers, imagine the scene. They knew he was coming. They had to stay and stand away because they had leprosy. But they called out. And when Jesus saw who was shouting to him from a distance, he immediately said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they walked towards the temple where the priests were, before they arrived at their destination, their leprosy disappeared. There is a notable principle to this story. Although 10 were healed physically, only one man found his way back to Jesus to thank him and honor him for his miracle. What will you do today with the marvelous cross of Christ? Jesus said to this man, "Your faith has made you well." Not merely this man's body was restored, but his relationship with God. The man recognized who Jesus was and gave him the recognition he deserved as the one true God. Jesus became his Savior and Lord. At the marvelous cross, Jesus becomes the ultimate victim, suffering in the place of people. Yet although he loses almost everything on the cross, one thing he retains is his authority. He remains Lord. He is able to make the promise because he is Lord. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." What a marvelous promise. The word paradise in the Greek Bible refers to the Garden of Eden. There is nothing on this earth to compare with God's garden because nothing on this earth is that good. But we can breathe his life, we can live his life, and we can experience heaven on earth through knowing him as Lord of our life. What comfort, what forgiveness, and what a wonderful promise we have been given by Jesus at the cross. All the hope you need is in Jesus. If a criminal on a cross can offer up the thinnest of confessions, and Jesus accepts and offers him salvation, any one of us can have this same freedom. The marvelous cross. Can we stand to our feet, church? There's comfort for our suffering. There's forgiveness for our sins. There's freedom both now and for our future. This is the day that the Lord has made. I am thirsty. Jesus understands. He has been there. Whatever your suffering, whatever the pain, "Father, forgive them," he said, "for they do not know what they are doing." He is the God of the second chance, someone who speaks to the Father on our behalf. And there's freedom. He says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus turns things around. It is his promise to us.